Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Doctor Wamalika, habari gani?
Oh, salama sana.
Mzuri sana. Dr. Wamalika, you're speaking to Zama from the Adventist World Radio. We're going to be speaking with you about the millennium.
About the millennium.
Yeah.
And you told me you are starting at 5:30.
But no, we're starting at 4:15.
Oh, we are starting at 4:15. So how many minutes left?
We're just starting now. It is 4:15.
Okay.
We were actually on air,
so
with
we
you.
Go ahead.
Yes, we're going ahead. You are on air. You are live on air.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Doc, for joining us. We're talking about the millennium and the end of sin, and we're going to be joined by you until Friday. So, millennium is a 1,000-year reign of Christ with his saints in heaven between the first and second resurrection. That is what we talked about in the fundamental beliefs lessons last week when we were talking about death and resurrection. Now, this week, you are talking to us about what awaits us in the millennium and what comes after that. So is there any particular reason that is given in the Bible why it has to be 1,000 years? It could have been 100 years. It could have been 30 years. Why 1,000?
Good. That's a very good question. You know, God is not time-bound.
Mm.
So things like 1,000 years, to God, it doesn't make much sense, because it's from eternity to eternity.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why John uses that time allocation is to help the listeners who are listening to him, the people whom he was writing to, to help them conceptualize that God is beyond time. What God does in 1,000 years, he can still do it in 100 years. He can still do it in 50 years. Is never bound, that unless he, he needs 1,000 years to do something, he can do this. So the time factor, that time factor is a way of trying to help a human being who is a prisoner of time conceptualize eternal things. So unfortunately, people have made the millennium a doctrine. In the Bible, when John gave it, it was not a doctrine. It was a way of trying to help man conceptualize it.
Oh.
For example, I hope you're ready. When Christ was talking about his coming again, you know, in John chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man will come, and all the dead in Christ would rise." Not only in Christ. Let me read directly the way the verse says.
Okay.
The verse says, "Do not be amazed at this." That means, do not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
For the Son of Man, when he comes, all who are dead will hear his voice and then will come out of the grave. And those who have done good to eternal life, those who have done evil to damnation." Of course, those who have done good does not mean those who are feeding the poor. We are not saved by our works. It means those who have done good by believing the gospel. When you don't believe the gospel, they say you have done evil. Now, when Christ spoke that, he spoke like it will be one event. He will come down, all who are in the grave will hear his voice and resurrect. But when you go to Revelation, there are those who will resurrect now, then after 1,000 years, they resurrect again. You see? So there is first and the second resurrection. But when Christ was describing it, he never put the time factor as an important element. What was important for Christ is the resurrection, not the calculation of time. So when you go to Thessalonians, Paul speaks to the Thessalonians, and he's answering a specific question. The question was about the Thessalonians who are dying before Christ came.
Yes, yes, yes.
What will happen to them? So Paul is answering a specific question about a specific group. So he says, I don't want you Thessalonians to be ignorant of what will happen. For Christ himself will be sent from heaven. And these ones that you have asked about will be raised first. So when you want to know what will happen at the end of the world, you don't use Thessalonians. You use John chapter 5, verse 28. So the SDA Bible commentary says, when Christ described what will happen at the end, he did not take the time factor as the major thing. Because if you die in 1960, and another one comes to die in 1980, honestly speaking, all of you is the same. You cannot say, I'm better off, I died in 1980. There is no degree in death. There is no degree in resurrection. So the reason why John brought in the millennium factor, the 1,000 factor, was not to create a doctrine. It was to help the man who is time-bound to conceptualize the events that will do. And the greatest event that will take place when Christ comes is not the 1,000 duration, is that we shall be with him. We shall be together with him. That's the emphasis that he's giving.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether it will be what? We shall be with him. Because the joy of the emphasis of the second coming of Christ is not the golden streets. It is not even the mansions. That's not the emphasis of the second coming.
Yeah.
The emphasis of the millennium is not that we shall be eating fruits and we shall be in big houses. And then we shall be here and here. Those things are good, but they only attract the flesh. Jesus says, I'm coming again. I'm coming again so that where I am, you may be also. So the real issue in the millennium is not so much the time factor. You can, out of curiosity, argue with the time factor. But that was not the emphasis of the book of Revelation. The emphasis of the book of Revelation is that the Lord himself will be with us. The issue is not the location where we shall be with him. The issue is we shall be with him. So when you study millennium, number one, don't make it such a doctrine that it overshadows the real essence of the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
The joy that we shall have. And I want also to suggest this to my listener. Every single day that passes before Christ comes, the one who suffers is not us, it's Christ. The one who is more anxious to have us in heaven is not us, it's Christ. Us, we want to go just to escape the problems in the world. We want to escape poverty, financial problems, health problems, all of that. That's what we want to escape. But the reason why Christ wants us to be up, he told Peter in John 14, I will come again. Why? So that where I am, you may be also. You see? So it is him who is more anxious to have us home. And the time factor is not the thing. Because the time factor is helping us because you can't conceptualize eternity. So he gives that, John uses the time factor of millennium, shall do this and this, shall be here, this and this. But you should not forget the union of God and his people. That is the greatest thing that is in the Bible. So millennium has been made a big doctrine, both in the Protestant churches and even in the Catholic Church. Mm. We Adventists also speak of millennium, but sometimes we speak and then we almost fight, especially for people who have come from denominations that emphasize millennium. But God is not limited by time.
Mm. Mm.
What he can do in 1,000 years, he can do the same in 50 years. He can do. So in the Middle East worldview, what is important is not the time factor. What is important is the event. I hope you are getting it.
Mm.
So I'm approaching the millennium from that perspective, that it is not mentioned in John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the book of Revelation was written after some of the apostles have died. Mm, mm,
mm.
So many of the apostles never read Revelation. John wrote Revelation around 90 or 91 AD. We believe like that.
Mm.
Although there are arguments on the date of it. So many of the apostles, like even Paul and others, never read the book of Revelation. But the book of Revelation is not a revelation of wild animals. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a revelation of political kingdoms.
Mm.
If you read Revelation 1 verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is true beasts are mentioned. It is true political kingdoms are mentioned. But all of those in literature, we call them minor characters. The major character of the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ himself. So that when you see a beast or a power persecuting God's people, that is meant to prepare you that in the next step, their redemption is double than the persecution. So our emphasis is not so much on those powers. Those are minor characters. Our emphasis is on the Lamb. It is on Christ. That's where the emphasis is. So in the millennium, the emphasis should not be on the duration.
Mm.
And we look at that duration using our human calendar, our human time. Then we say, 1,000 years? Then we do some calculations. Remember, the Bible was written in the Middle East worldview, not in the Western worldview. The Western worldview is good, it is scientific. But the Middle East worldview is mystic, is faith-based. In the Middle East, what is important is not the duration. What is important is not the time. What is important is the event. So when John was trying to say millennium, this will happen, he's trying to help his listeners, the Christians who are undergoing persecution, that, hey, look here. These are the things that will happen. These are the events that will happen. We shall be with him. We shall be with him for 1,000 years. Then after that, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. When you say new heaven and the new earth, you are not talking of them new in chronology. The way you can say this chair is new, as though the old one has just been pushed aside. No, the word new, it means the same old thing, but made new in quality.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same heaven, but made new in quality.
Mm.
That's what he's talking about. So we shall inherit the new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
So the concept of millennium, I'm suggesting to my listeners, is important to help us conceptualize, but it was never given to be a doctrine. The reason why we make it a doctrine is for emphasis sake. But the real thing, sometimes we emphasize the duration and forget the event. And I would like to encourage you, every time you read revelation.
Yeah.
Never forget that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Even the millennium tells me that Christ does not change his character with time. He will still be the same. Yesterday, today, and forever.
And forever.
And therefore, I want to suggest to you that millennium is good news. Millennium inspires our faith.
Yes.
Now, people argue on when it will be. But when you read the Bible, Revelation 22, I think the almost the second last verse, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." You know the answer that John gives? John does not say when. No. John does not say how. No. The emphasis of the coming of Christ is not when or the style in which he will come. John says, "Amen. Even so, come, our Lord Jesus, come." Because for him, the Lord coming is enough. Whether he will take 2 weeks to reach there, whether it will be 1 month to reach there, whether it will take 1,000 years to reach in heaven, that is not the emphasis. The emphasis is that we shall be with him.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor.
So I would like to,
Yes, I wanted to thank you so much. I wanted to say thank you so much for coming through today and, you know, giving us this very, very great, you know, response to this. Thank you so much, Pastor. Blessings to you. We're going to be connecting with you again same time tomorrow.
Oh, may God bless you. May God lead you so much.
Asante sana.
So that it will be a blessing to many others. Amen.
Beautiful. Amen. Asante.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.